से कहो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय। गंगा माई यमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की जय। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। निताय गौरव प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीस असेंबली डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीस असेंबली डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीस असेंबली डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीस ऑल ग्लोरीस ऑल ग्लोरीस टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानते मिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चाति दशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So today I want to discuss from Sri Valmiki Ramayana. Since today there was not a particular topic given, I thought I would discuss on Valmiki Ramayana. So in the Vedic scriptures, Srila Vyasadeva in the beginning of the Kali Yuga, he divided the Vedas into four sections, Rik, Yajur, Sama, Atharva Veda. And then he wrote Vedanta Sutra, the conclusion of the Vedas in the Sutra format. And then he wrote the Puranas, Mahabharata. All these actually comprise the Vedic literatures. And Sri Valmiki Ramayana was actually written by it's written by Sri Valmiki Rishi. So it is said, Veda Vedye Pare Pumsi Jate Dasharatatmaje Veda Prachetasadasit Sakshat Ramayanatmana. It is said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is actually described in the Vedas, appeared as Lord Sri Ram. and the, all the Vedas appeared as Ramayan. So Valmiki Ramayan is actually it contains the essence of the Vedas. The Vedas have appeared as Valmiki Ramayan. So it is said, Srila Jiva Goswami, he explains that in this age there is a difficulty to study the Vedas. It's very difficult to study the Vedas because of different reasons. For example, the original Vedic literatures is hardly available in this age. So in the Vedic literature, the Vedas are divided into four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharva. And each Veda is divided into different chapters and different sections. So they are called as the Brahmanas, Samhitas, Aranyakas and Upanishads. These are like the different sections in the Vedas. But totally there are something like 4,500 sections in the Vedas. But in the current Kali Yuga, there is hardly some 250 of this Brahmanas, Samhitas, Aranyakas and Upanishads are available. So the available Vedas itself is actually only approximately something like 6% of the original Vedas. So therefore, even if a person wants to study that, the available Vedas is actually very less. And moreover, the language which is used in the Vedas is very cryptic in nature. So there are two kinds of Sanskrit. That is Laukika Sanskrit and another is the Vaidika Sanskrit. So Vaidika Sanskrit, which is used in the original Vedas, which is actually much more difficult to understand compared to the Laukika Sanskrit, which is actually much more easier. And the third difficulty in understanding the Vedas is that even if a person before studying the Vedas, one has to study what is called as the Vedangas, Veda Anga. So Veda Anga means one has to study the six different subjects, like one has to study the all the grammatical rules. One has to study the science of pronunciation, which is called a siksha. One has to study the process of performing sacrifice. And one has to study the astronomy and astrology and the different Vedic meters. So, before studying the Vedas, one has to study these Vedangas. So the effort required to study the Vedangas itself is actually so huge. Then what to speak of actually after that, actually taking the effort to study the Vedas. And fourthly, that in Kali Yuga, people have got a very weak memory. Our ability to actually study and memorize and remember, it is actually very less. And also the lifespan is less. So because of this various difficulty in studying the Vedas, Srila Vyasadev, after dividing the Vedas, he wrote what is called as a Vedanta Sutra. It means he desired to give the conclusion of the Vedas in a short format. In a short, like in a formula, in the form of a formula, that's called a sutra. But even in the case of the Vedanta Sutra, there are difficulty in studying the Vedanta Sutra because the reason is that the first reason is that there are various thinkers who have given different meanings for the Vedanta Sutra. So we discussed the difficulty in studying the original Vedas. And then we are coming to the point that because of the difficulty in studying the Vedas, Srila Vyasadeva has given the Vedanta Sutra. But now we are saying that even the Vedanta Sutra has difficulty in studying because there are different philosophers or different thinkers have interpreted the Vedanta Sutra in different ways. So therefore, one will obviously we will get confused, like which actually interpretation I should follow. And moreover, there are different philosophers who, instead of accepting the Vedanta, the conclusion of the Vedas, they have actually propagated different philosophies which is different from the Vedanta. So Srila Vyasadeva has given the conclusion of the Vedas in the Vedanta Sutra, but there are many other great philosophers who have actually given their own philosophies instead of accepting the Vedanta. For example, there are philosophers like Gautama and Kanada and Jaimini. They have given different philosophies which is apart from the Vedanta. So therefore, people may not accept the Vedanta. And so then Srila Vyasadeva, as a solution, he has given the Itihasas and Puranas. Because the original Vedas are difficult to understand, and even the Vedanta Sutra has difficulty in understanding, and they can confuse people. So then Srila Vyasadeva has given the Puranas and the Itihasas. And what is the special advantage of the Puranas and Itihasas over the Vedanta Sutra and the Vedas? First of all, Puranas and Itihasas are written in a very much easier Sanskrit compared to the Vedic Sanskrit. And secondly, Puranas and Itihasas are much more easily accessible to people because it contains lot of stories. So stories are something easier to actually, easier to digest, people can easily relate to. With the help of the stories, one can understand the meaning behind the stories easily. And thirdly, that in the case of the Vedas, they can be studied only by those who are twice born or Brahman initiated. Whereas in the case of the Puranas and Itihasas, everybody is allowed to study the Puranas and Itihasas. There is no restriction on the part of the Puranas and Itihasas. In fact, the original speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the Suta Goswami, he was actually not a twice born Brahmana. He was born in a mixed caste. And Puranas and Itihasas, they convey the same conclusions of the Vedas because they come from the same source. They come from the same source, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Puranas and Itihasas, they are also free from the four defects of a human being. It is actually coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Puranas and Itihasas, they are as Vedic as the original Vedas. So therefore, it is said, there is a verse in the, it's a verse which says that, Itihasa Puranabhyam Vedam Samupabrumhayet Bibet Alpashutad Vedo Mamayam Praharishyati. It is said, one has to study the Vedas, one has to understand the meaning of the Vedas with the help of the Itihasa and Purana. One must, the intelligent person in this age must understand the meaning of the Vedas through the Itihasa and the Puranas. Bibet Alpashrutad Vedo Mamayam Praharishyati. Means, one who has not studied the Itihasa and Purana, especially in this age, such a person is considered to be having very little knowledge. Bibeti Alpashrutad Vedo. He is considered to be having very little knowledge. So therefore, in this age, if we have to understand the essence of the Vedas, we have to mainly focus on the Itihasas and the Puranas. In fact, there is another verse which comes from the Skanda Puran, which says that that in which the sage is saying, I consider the meaning of the Puranas to be as well established as that of the Vedas. Without doubt, all the Vedas are given a firm foundation in the Puranas. The Puranas actually give a firm foundation to the Vedas. Because why we are mentioning this is that there are many thinkers, many scholars who say that the Puranas and Itihasas, they are not considered Vedic. So, it is like Prabhupada would give a simple example. So many times some people would say that, I don't want this Puranas and Itihasas, I don't want the Gita or the Bhagavatam, I want the original Veda. Like once there was a British officer, he had heard that in India very nice sweet jackfruits are available. He had never tasted jackfruits in the Western countries. So he wanted to taste jackfruits. He had an Indian servant. So he told that, I want jackfruit. Please give me some jackfruits. So the Indian servant, he climbed on the tree and then he cut the jackfruit. And then after bringing the jackfruit, you know, it's a great endeavor in cutting the jackfruit. It's not the first, you have to cut from the tree and then after that, you have to put oil in your hand and then he cut the jackfruit because your oil will get stuck with that sticky feeling. And then he cut the jackfruit and removed the seeds and then he brought a bowl of jackfruit and then in another bowl he brought some honey. So it will actually, the combination will taste good. So he brought this to that British officer. And then the British officer said, I don't want this, I want the original jackfruit. I don't want this, I want the original jackfruit. So this is the situation of the so-called modern thinkers. When you give the Puranas and Itihasas, which are actually as Vedic as the original Vedas, but they say, oh, we want the original Vedas. So in this particular verse from the Skanda Purana, it is said, without doubt, all the Vedas are given a firm foundation in the Puranas. And long ago, Vedas, they became afraid of those people who might hear them without taking help of the Puranas and Itihasas. And the Vedas started lamenting. And the Vedas said, oh, those people who will actually try to hear us without taking the help of the Puranas and Itihasas, they will actually distort our meaning. They will distort our meaning. And then the Vedas started lamenting. So at that time, it's explained that therefore the Itihasas and Puranas, they helped the Vedas by firmly establishing the meaning of the Vedas. So what cannot be found in the Vedas is found in the Smriti and what cannot be found in either is clearly explained in the Puranas. So therefore it is said, even if a person has studied the four Vedas along with the Vyasa and Upanishads, but he is not considered to be learned if he does not know the meaning of the Puranas. So therefore, we see that the Puranas and Itihasas, they play a crucial role in understanding the meaning of the Vedas. It is said in a particular verse in Skanda Puran, Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Ada Vantaucha Madhyecha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. Vedas, Ramayan, Mahabharat and the Puranas, in the beginning, middle and end, they glorify none but Lord Hari. Adav antaucha madhyecha Hari sarvatra giyate. So the prime ones, if you study all the Vedas in totality, and then instead of studying only one particular section, you will find that the Vedas are glorifying nothing but Lord Hari. That's what this verse from Skanda Puran says that. So, that is why one famous sage, Chanakya Pandit, he mentions, Prataha Dyuta Prasangena Madhyane Sri Prasangataha Ratrau Chaura Prasangena Kalo Gachati Dhimatam. So he says, in the morning one should actually discuss the story of gambling. One should discuss about gambling. And in the afternoon, one should discuss about women. And in the night, one should discuss about the thieves. And in fact, this is how the great people or intelligent people spend their morning, afternoon and evening. And we understand, what kind of a verse is it? Actually, what this verse means is that Prata Dyuta Prasangena. Dyuta Prasangena, it refers to the Mahabharat in which the story of gambling match comes. So in the beginning, in the morning, he says one should discuss the Mahabharat. The sense that because Mahabharat concerns with the different life situations, before proceeding with the life, one should actually discuss the different life situation described in the Mahabharata, so that we can actually discriminate between dharma and adharma, so that we can lead a dharmic way of life. And in the afternoon, of course, in the afternoon, she discuss about the women. It refers to the story of Ramayana, because Ramayana is also called as Sita Charitra, the story of Mother Sita. So therefore, previously people would go for work and then they would come back in the afternoon for lunch. So in that context, it may explain that the afternoon should discuss about Ramayana. Of course, we may get time only in the morning or night. The situation is different. But the point here is mentioning is that one should discuss about Ramayana, Mahabharata, and the night time one should discuss about the Krishna's pastimes, because here the thief refers to Lord Krishna, who would steal butter in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada would say that while before going to bed, when you are drinking milk, when you read Krishna book, you will not have any nightmares. So anyway, the principle of consulting these scriptures are given in the are mentioned by Chanakya Pandit. It is said in the case of Mahabharata actually teaches us the art of living in this world, and Ramayana teaches the art of leading, because the characters of Ramayana, they actually demonstrate how a leader should be in all walks of life. It is not only in terms of a king or some leader which is prominent in society. Even within a small household, the responsibilities of a wife, mother, husband, like that. So many things are taught in the Ramayana, especially the responsibility as a leader. And Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us the art of loving the Supreme Personality of God. So in that way, we see the Vedic literatures, they give a wholesome meal, the art of living and the art of loving the Supreme Lord. By learning that, we should actually leave this world. Art of living in this world and art of leaving this world. So, in the Ramayana, coming to the today's topic, in the Ramayana. So, Ramayana, the prominent emotion in Ramayana is actually the Karuna Rasa, the mellow of melancholy. Means like Ramayana is actually filled with many sad incidents from the starting till the end. It is not that like many times the stories end with a good climax, happy climax, but Ramayana is filled with actually sad incidents right from the beginning till the end. Lord Ram, he was about to be coronated, and then he was actually sent to the forest. And then when he goes to the forest, he is separated from Mother Sita. And then he, there's again a sad incident in Ramayana. And then after killing Ravan, he makes Mother Sita undergo the Agni Pariksha, which is again a very sobering incident in Ramayana. And then after bringing Sita to Ayodhya, there are incidents like banishment of Sita. In that way, there are so many incidents in Ramayana, which are actually filled with, when we read that, it will bring tears to the person's eyes. And so that is the predominant emotion in Ramayana. So in the Ramayana, there are many incidents in Ramayana. Like there are in the modern world, many scholars actually, they have actually misinterpreted the Ramayana and Mahabharata. And by misinterpreting them, they try to bring down the Vedic culture. For example, some of the scholars, they say that Ramayana actually promotes the culture of oppression. Ramayana actually talks about the culture of oppression over women like Mandodari, Tara, Mother Sita. So these women were oppressed in Ramayana. And Ramayana talks about the illogical submission of Lakshman towards Lord Ram. And Ramayana talks about the oppression of Lord Ram over the monkey soldiers. Like there was some people said that actually Ravan was a Dravidian and Ram was a Aryan. He was from North India, and Valmiki was also from North India. So therefore he wrote Ramayana in a way that by actually portraying the Aryans to be superior over the Dravidian. So like that, people have actually misinterpreted Ramayana in different ways. So one particular incident in Ramayana, which is actually misinterpreted by people, is the Lord Ram killing Vali. We want to actually specifically focus on this particular incident. And also we want to take up a verse from Ramayana and discuss that particular verse. So this story comes in Valmiki Ramayana, where the background to the story is that Vali and Sugriva were brothers. Once there was one particular demon called as Mayavi, who actually challenged Vali. So Vali went to fight with this demon in the forest. And then that Mayavi entered a particular cave, and then Vali also entered that cave. And Vali told Sugriva to actually to wait outside the cave, to guard this cave. And then Vali went inside, and then it actually hours passed, and then days passed, and weeks passed, and Vali did not return. And Sugriva was concerned, and then Sugriva heard a loud noise, and then he thought that Vali is dead. Because by the sound of the voice, he came to know that Vali is dead. And then Sugriva actually closed that cave with the help of a boulder, and then he went away. And then he went to the kingdom, and he announced that Vali has been killed by this demon Mayavi. And then after that, Sugriva was coronated as the king. So it was actually a misjudgment on the part of Sugriva. It is not that Sugriva was eager to occupy the kingdom. Vali was the king. In the absence of a king, he became the king. But then actually what happened was that Vali was not killed by Mayavi. After that, actually the fight was going on. And then Vali actually killed the demon Mayavi. And then when he wanted to come out of the cave, he saw that the cave has been closed. And with a great effort, he pushed that stone aside, and then he came out of the cave. And then he came to the kingdom, And then he thought that this Sugriva, he wanted to actually occupy the post of a king, and therefore he made this plan. And then without giving any chance to Sugriva to explain his position, he threw Sugriva from the king, from the throne, and then he actually chased Sugriva away, and in fact he forcibly kept Sugriva's wife with him, and then he became the king. And he wanted to kill Sugriva, but Sugriva, because he knew that Vali, because of the curse of a particular rishi, Vali cannot actually, Vali will not come to a Rishemukha Parvat. So therefore, he actually took shelter of that particular mountain and the nearby, nearby regions. So later when Lord Ram came to that particular place, then Lord Ram made a pact with Sugriva, and then Sugriva said that I will actually help in getting back your wife, and then he requested Lord Ram to get back his wife. And then Lord Ram, because he promised to Sugriva, so Lord he told Sugriva to challenge Vali for a fight. And then Vali and Sugriva, when they were fighting, so Lord Ram, by hiding behind the trees, he actually killed Vali. So this particular story is actually taken by many people, and they actually put blame on the character of Lord Ram, that how can actually Lord Ram kill Vali by hiding behind the trees. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava says in the 11th canto, Tasmad bhavantam anavadyam ananta param sarvagyam ishwaram akunta vikunta dishnyam nirvinnadir ahamuhe vrijinabhi tapto narayano narasako sharanam prapadye. So Uddhava is explaining why he wants to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So he says that in the case of the Supreme Lord, he is actually anavadyam, he is faultless. Not only is faultless, asmat bhavanta manavadyam ananta param is actually beyond time and space. And he is all-knowing. And he is a supreme controller. And he gives shelter to even Lord Narayan. And although gives shelter to Lord Narayan, but he is also the friend of the infinitesimal living entity. Narayanam Narasakam. So in this particular verse he says that the Krishna is actually anavadyam, he is faultless. So this particular story is quoted by people to show that actually Lord Ram is having the fault of killing Vali by hiding behind the trees. So Vali actually gives various reasons before, when he was about to die, that time he challenges Lord Ram, and he gives various points and how Lord Ram, in fact, all those points are refuted by Lord Ram himself. So we'll take up some of these points. Some of these arguments given by Lord Ram is that some of the arguments given by Vali said, you are actually famous as the son of Dashrath Maharaj. So how could you actually do like this? How could you actually kill me by hiding behind the trees? I did not come to fight you, and you are known as a personality with great qualities. In fact, when I came to know that Sugriva is being supported by you, I actually trusted on your qualities, because I did not actually go to fight with you, where I went to fight with Sugriva. So therefore, I felt that you are not going to attack me. So I had actually trust in your qualities, but you had actually committed a breach of trust. Prabhupada writes in the 6th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, among the different types of sins, one of the worst type of sin is actually Vishwasa Gata, or breach of trust. So Vali is saying that you have committed this sin of breach of trust. So you are like a well covered with grass. So I thought, like sometimes in our villages you will find that there is some like grass is there, but actually it is a well covered with a grass. So you are externally covered with this good qualities, but actually you are a very envious person. You are actually a person of dubious character. And then Wally said, actually I did not come to harm you. I did not cause any harm to you or to your people. And there was no history of, there is no reason for any animosity between you and me. But still, why did you kill me? And then he said that maybe if you are saying that, oh, you came to actually, being an animal, you came to basically hunt me. But we are actually vanaras. Our skin is not used by any of the sages, any of the tapasvis. Because some of the skin of the animals are actually used by the tapasvis for performing tapasya. They would use it as a seat. But like our skin is not used by any of the sages. And our bones and hair are actually forbidden. And you actually never eat meat. And even if you are actually, even if you wanted to eat meat, the meat of a monkey is actually completely forbidden. So why did you kill me? And then he said that, and then Wali was saying, how could such an exalted person like Dasharath could give birth to a sinful person like you? In fact, and then he said, like, you wanted to actually get back Sita. But if you had approached me for that particular purpose, I would have very easily defeated Ravana and brought and given Sita to you. So why didn't you approach me? And even if you wanted to fight with me, you should have fought with me openly. So why did you fight with me by hiding behind the trees? So in this way, Wali put so much blame on the Supreme Lord. So this actually, the tendency of a conditioned soul is that it is very difficult to actually accept responsibility for our mistakes, because it is very painful for the false ego. So we, because of the long conditioning since time immemorial, we tend to actually put the blame on somebody else. But here the Wali is actually putting blame on Lord Ram. And many people, many thinkers, many modern writers, they say, they also support by saying that, so Lord Ram could have waged an open war with Wali. Why did he, just like he actually waged an open war with Ravan, he could have waged an open war with Wali. Why did he actually kill Wali by hiding behind the trees? And Lord Ram could have become a mediator between Wali and Sugriva. Why did he actually suggest Sugriva to call Wali for a fight? Maybe first he should have actually called for a mediation session. Or Lord Ram could have directly approached Wali, because Wali is much more powerful than Sugriva. He could have approached Wali for getting back Sita. So in this way, many people also actually support Wali. But all these arguments were given answer by Lord Ram himself. Although these people, they don't actually focus on Lord Ram's counter reply. So Lord Ram says that we are representing the king of Ayodhya. I am not the king of Ayodhya, but I am representing the king of Ayodhya. The king of Ayodhya is the master of the land as well as the forest. Bharat is actually ruling the land and I have come to the forest. So therefore, on behalf of Bharat, I have to make sure that Dharma is being followed even in the forest. And then Lord Ram said, you have actually committed the adharma of actually forcibly taking away the wife of your brother when your brother is still alive. You are supposed to, one is supposed to treat the wife of one's brother like a daughter-in-law. But you have actually forcibly taken away the wife of Sugriva. And for this particular adharmic act, the only punishment is actually death punishment. In this way, Lord Ram actually quoted the Dharmic Shastra. And then Lord Ram said, and I had actually made a promise to Sugriva, who had actually surrendered to me, that I will actually get back your wife. Of course, it was actually it was primarily based on the first premise that Vali was a criminal. It is not that just because Sugriva surrendered that Vali was also a criminal. And Sugriva was the best person to rule the kingdom of Kishkindha. And then Lord Ram said, as a Kshatriya, we were allowed to actually hunt the animals by hiding in the forest. The Kshatriyas were allowed to actually hunt the animals because Kshatriyas, many times they had to actually fight the battle in order to protect the kingdom. So therefore they were allowed to hunt the animals by hiding behind. And although the Kshatriyas were allowed violence, it was to exercise moderation as society needs some discipline. And many times the Kshatriyas, they also would actually, they would hunt the animals for the purpose of helping the villagers who are actually staying nearby the forest so that the villagers can actually cultivate the land peacefully. Many times these ferocious animals would actually come and attack the villagers or the other animals in the cultivable land. So because of that, the villagers would not be able to cultivate the land. The Kshatriyas were actually were supposed to facilitate the villagers in cultivating the land by actually killing the ferocious animals. And in this way, Lord Ram answered Vali. And some more points were given by the Acharyas who say that Lord Ram did not take help from Vali for actually rescuing Sita. The reason is that Ravana had actually kidnapped Lord Ram's wife, and Vali had forcibly taken away Sugriva's wife. If Lord Ram had taken the help of Vali in killing Ravana, then it is indirectly he is also supporting the act of Ravana, because by taking help of a person who himself had committed the same crime, by that he is indirectly, to some extent, he is supporting the act of Ravana. So therefore, Lord Ram did not take the help of Vali. And if Lord Ram had actually appeared directly and approached Vali directly, and if he had fought with Vali directly, there is a possibility that Vali might have surrendered to Lord Ram. If Vali might have surrendered to Lord Ram, as a Kshatriya, the principle is that one is supposed to actually give protection to the surrendered. So Lord Ram would be put in a dilemma that he would have to give shelter to a person who had kidnapped somebody else's wife. And if he does not give shelter, that means he would be breaking the principle of not giving shelter to the surrendered. So he would be put in a dilemma. So therefore, Lord Ram actually chose to actually kill Vali by hiding behind. That's why it is said that when the criminals are supposed to be hanged, the criminals are, their faces are covered with a cloth, because the, one of the reason is that suppose if the criminal starts pleading and the person who is supposed to execute the criminal, and suppose if his heart might melt by seeing the disposition of the criminal, and then he might actually stop the execution. So therefore the criminal's face is actually covered. And another reason why Lord Ram actually killed Vali by hiding behind the trees is that Lord Ram wanted to respect the benediction offered by Indra to Vali. Indra had offered a benediction to Vali. If whomever Vali actually fights with, one to one, half of the strength of the opponent will come to him. So Lord Ram, of course, as the Supreme Lord, he is not bound by these benedictions. Because the Supreme Lord only actually gives the power to any the demigod to offer any benedictions. But Lord Ram wanted to respect the benediction given by Indra to Vali. So therefore he actually attacked Vali by hiding behind. And lastly, Lord Ram wanted to minimize the bloodshed, because he didn't want to have an open war with Vali and then Vali would come with all his soldiers, and then not only Vali would be killed, many others would also be killed. So Lord Ram wanted to minimize the bloodshed. He wanted to kill only Vali and then make Sugriva as the king. So in this way, that these are the various reasons why Lord Ram actually killed Vali by hiding behind. And we see that it is not that this became a habit for Lord Ram to kill the enemies by hiding behind the trees or hiding in a particular place. It was just one particular instance. Nor did the followers of Lord Ram, they actually took the example of Lord Ram and then they also fought by actually killing their enemies by hiding behind the targets, by hiding behind the trees or bushes. So this was just a one sole instance. And at this point, when Vali had been killed, when the wife of Vali, that is Tara, when she comes to know that her husband has been killed by Lord Ram, and she comes to that place, and she comes with a great, she's in a sorrowful mood. She wanted to actually chastise the killer of her husband. She comes with that particular mood of chastising Lord Ram, who is the killer of her husband. But when she comes to that particular place, instead of chastising Lord Ram, she starts glorifying Lord Ram. So she speaks a beautiful verse. That particular verse has been commented by the acharyas in the Sri Sampradaya, especially Periyavachan Pillai, very extensively. So I just want to discuss about this particular verse in the remaining part of the discourse. So when Tara comes to that particular place, she speaks this verse: Tvam aprameyascha durasadascha jitendriyascha uttama dharmikascha akshaya kirtischa vichakshanascha kshitikshamavan kshatajopamakshaha. So in this particular verse, Tara is actually describing 8 qualities of Lord Ram. So her original intention was to chastise, but when she arrived there, she actually started glorifying Lord Ram. So the acharyas explained that how did that that why is it that the Tara's mood suddenly changed and Tara actually started glorifying Lord Ram? So it is said that when Tara arrived at that particular place, by seeing the beautiful form of Lord Ram, By seeing the beautiful eyes of Lord Ram, she became completely purified and she comes to the mode of goodness and then she starts glorifying Lord Ram. So it is said, Tara came to understand that Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead by seeing the eyes of Lord Ram and by seeing the beautiful features of Lord Ram. So even in the Mahabharata, Lord Krishna actually took up a vow not to take any weapon, not to fight in the battle. But he had a much greater weapon than the physical weapons. The weapon in the form of his bewitching smiles and his beautiful eyes. Then people would see the beautiful smiles and the beautiful face of Lord Krishna in the battlefield. And they would become disturbed in their target of the enemies. The bewitching smiles of Lord Krishna, it actually completely destabilize the enemies, enemies of the Pandavas. And it actually frustrated the Kauravas in carefully aiming their respective enemies. So in that way, even in the Mahabharata, Lord Krishna actually, by his beautiful eyes, by his beautiful smiles, he actually destabilized the enemies, enemies of the Pandavas. Once Ramanujacharya was walking in the Srirangam. So there was a wrestler. So this particular wrestler was actually very much attached to his beautiful wife. And he was actually carrying an umbrella just to protect his wife from the sunlight. And then Ramanujacharya saw this. And Ramanujacharya, he came back to his mutt and he told his disciple, "You please actually call that particular wrestler." And the wrestler came. And then Ramanujacharya asked that, why is it that you are so much attached to your wife that you are actually holding the umbrella over your wife's head? So he said that my wife's eyes are so beautiful, I am afraid that if the sunlight falls on her face, the beauty of her eyes would actually decrease. Then Ramanujacharya said, "Suppose if I show you something which is more beautiful than the eyes of your wife, will you actually give up the attachment towards this particular eyes?" Then he said, "Yeah, definitely, if I see something more beautiful, then definitely I will give up the attachment to the eyes of my eyes. I would give up the attachment towards the eyes of my wife." Then Ramanujacharya took him to the altar of Ranganath. And then he started praying to Ranganath, Please actually reveal the beauty of your eyes to this particular person so that he actually becomes attached to you and he becomes actually detached from the material beauty." And then on the request of Ramanujacharya's prayer, and Lord Ranganath actually revealed the beauty of his eyes, and in this way this wrestler became a great devotee. So we see that Tara, she got completely transformed by seeing the eyes of Lord Ram, and then she speaks this particular verse. And she says, for each of the words in this particular verse, there are several meanings given, but you try to discuss some of the meanings. So she starts the verse by saying, "Tvam." Tvam means you. So she says, "Tvam," that means, what she means is that I am going to glorify you with the 8 qualities. But before glorifying 8 qualities, there should be some word which should actually sustain these 8 qualities. Just like, suppose if you are going to build a huge building, you need to have a strong foundation and you need to have a strong pillar which would actually sustain the weight of the building. Similarly, Tara is saying that because I am going to describe 8 qualities of yours, I want to actually, there should be something that should sustain the weight of those qualities. So, with that in mind, she speaks the word Tvam. You are that person. And then she says that you are the source of all the qualities, just like mountain is the source of all the minerals. And unlimited, innumerable glorious qualities are present in your form like a walnut in hand. And then Tara is thinking, actually, you have performed a very difficult task of killing Wali. Do you know the power of Wali? Wali was such a powerful person. Once actually, Wali was performing Gayatri. That time, Ravana came to attack Wali. So, Ravana was coming from behind. So, Wali saw the shadow of Ravana. So, Wali could see the 10 heads of Ravana. Then what he did was that, like with his tail, he actually bound Ravana. And then, with that, he bound Ravana and then he actually dipped Ravana in the ocean. And then, with the tail, he expanded the tail and then he actually took Ravana to the cradle where Angada was sleeping. And then he tied Ravana in the cradle of Angada. And then Angada learnt the numbers by counting the heads of Ravana. So, this was the power of Wali. So, Tara was thinking that, so Wali was so powerful, but you have killed Wali. After killing Wali, you are standing like an ordinary person as if you have not done anything. This is something greatly amazing. So with that in mind, she is speaking the word Tvam. And then she says that another reason why she is using the word Tvam is that you gave victory to Sugriva who surrendered to you and who was afraid of Wali. And in this way, you have exhibited the Sharanagati Vatsalya. You have exhibited the mood of affection towards Sugriva. So, then after speaking this word Tvam, lastly she says that, she says, actually I came here with the intention to chastise you. But the very mouth which is supposed to chastise you, you have transformed me in such a way that you have made me glorify you. So with that in mind, she uses the word Tvam. That means, like, you have made something like a, in Tamil there is a, what is called as Pithalatakaran. That means, like, one who makes actually Pithal into gold or gold into Pithal. He actually cheats people. So you have actually somewhat cheated me by transforming my that instead of chastising you, I am actually glorifying you. So then she uses the next word, Tvam Aprameya. Aprameya means that one who is indeterminable, one who cannot be understood easily. One who cannot be understood. So she says that not only I am ignorant of your glories, even the Vedas do not know the extent of your glories. Even the Vedas do not know you completely. So once Parashar Bhatta, he went in front of Lord Ranganath and he started taking darshan of Lord Ranganath with great attention, starting from the lotus feet till the head. And then Lord Ranganath said, please glorify me, please describe about what you are seeing me. Then Parashar Bhatta, he thought for some time, and then Parashar Bhatta said that there is no doubt you look so divine, but I can describe your divine beauty if you would give me 1,000 mouths, 1,000 divine mouths with infinite potential for expression. Then I will describe your beauty. So then Lord Ranganath was little amused. Why is he asking for this? So then Lord Ranganath actually gave the benediction. Okay, then he gave him actually 1,000 divine tongues with unlimited potential for expression. Then after getting the 1,000 divine tongues, again Parashar Muni started looking at Ranganath with great attention. Ranganath was expecting that, oh, he is going to start the glorification. And then, but Parashar Bhatta said, actually, it is not possible to describe you. So then Lord Ranganath, he became actually surprised. So Lord Ranganath, he asked him two questions. He said that, if you are not able to describe me with 1,000 divine tongues, then definitely you would not have been able to describe me with one tongue. So in the first place, definitely it would not be possible to describe with one tongue. So therefore that time itself you could have said that it's not possible to describe. And then Ranganath asked, or is it that you thought, did you think that after getting the 1,000 tongues, maybe I'll be able to describe you? And then after getting the 1,000 tongues, then you realize that even with the 1,000 tongues, it's not possible to describe you. And then you declare to me that, okay, I'm not able to describe you. Is it that, like, you thought in the beginning that, oh, maybe if I get with one tongue, I'm not able to describe you, but after getting 1,000 tongues, maybe I will be able to describe the Lord. With that intention, you ask for 1,000 tongues, and then after getting the 1,000 tongues, then you realize that, okay, I'm not able to describe you. Did you think like that? Then Parashar Bhatta said, actually, I knew in the beginning itself, even if I get 1,000 divine tongues with infinite potential for expression, I knew that it would not be possible to describe you. It is not that after getting the 1,000 tongues, then I realized that, okay, even with the 1,000 tongues, I can't describe you. In fact, I knew in the very beginning that even if I get 1,000 divine tongues with infinite potential for expression, I cannot describe you. Then Lord Ranganath asked, then if you knew right in the beginning, then why did you ask for 1,000 tongues? He said, the reason why I asked for 1,000 divine tongues is that, to say that I don't have the capacity to describe the glories of the Lord, it requires a certain qualification. Because people would actually take my words seriously, that the Lord's glories are unlimited. People would take my words seriously only if I say this after getting the 1,000 divine tongues. So therefore, although I knew that even with the 1,000 tongues, it's not possible to describe your glories fully, I asked for the 1,000 divine tongues, and then I made this statement so that people would actually take my word seriously that your glories are unlimited, that it cannot be described even with the 1,000 divine tongues. So that is what it means, aprameya. That means Lord is so unlimited, his glories are so unlimited that he cannot be known completely even with the Vedas. So aprameya. A prameya means one who cannot be known, one who cannot be known by pratyaksha pramana, or one who can be known by anumana pramana, and one who cannot be known completely by Shabda Pramana. Yeah, with the help of the Shabda Pramana, with the help of the Vedas, we can know the Supreme Lord to some extent, but we cannot know the Supreme Lord completely. So these are the different meanings of the word Aprameya, which Tara is actually glorifying Lord Ram's qualities. And Aprameya also means that the Lord cannot be measured by Desha, Kala and Vastu. He cannot be limited by Desha, Kala and Vastu. Like in the case of a living entity, we say that, oh, this person is staying at this particular place. But the Lord is actually all pervading. In the case of a living entity, he is limited by a time. We have a birth date and the death date. But the Lord is actually not limited by time. He is actually eternal. And he cannot be limited by a particular vastu also. He cannot be... He is there within all the objects and the living entities. So Lord cannot be measured by Desha, Kala and Vastu. In this way there are different meanings of the word Aprameya is given. In fact, another meaning of the word Aprameya is that you are so powerful, in fact, that it is said that nobody can break the bow of Lord Ram. That is the power of the, that is how the powerful the, even the bow of Lord Ram. But you are holding that bow just like an ordinary object, and you are appearing like an ordinary person. You are actually so great that you are so powerful that you are holding that bow, but at the same time, in this dress of a tapasvi, you appear to be like a very ordinary person. So there are two qualities, paratva and saulabhya. Paratva means the greatness of the Lord, and saulabhya means how he is easily accessible. It's like, for example, that gold is something highly valuable. But it is something highly valuable, but it is not easily accessible. On the other hand, the stones are easily accessible. You can find anywhere in the road. But it is not highly valuable. But suppose if both the qualities are present in an object, something which is highly valuable, something but at the same time easily accessible, such kind of an object is something very rare to find. And that is what Tara is saying, that you are so great, but at the same time you are appearing like an ordinary person. Both paratva and saulabhya, both are actually present in you. So it is like for example, if darkness and light are simultaneously present, then it is very difficult to understand what is going on. So similarly, because paratva and saulabhya both are present in you, I am not able to understand you. Therefore, you are aprameya. And then she says that aprameya means you sent all the Ayodhya vasis and all the armies which came to actually, because Bharat came with all the Ayodhya vasis to take back Lord Ram to Ayodhya. So Tara is saying that you actually sent away all the armies and the Ayodhya vasis back to Ayodhya. But still, you appear as if you are surrounded by so many servants and soldiers. You are actually alone, but you appear as if you are surrounded by so many servants and soldiers because of the effulgence from your body. Of the effulgence from your body is so it's so great, it appears that you are surrounded by all the kingly paraphernalia. So that is what she means by the word aprameya. And another meaning of the word aprameya is that she says, by the order of the father, you came to live in the forest by dressing yourself as a tapasvi. But in the forest you killed 14,000 Rakshasas and you killed Kabanda, Wali, by dressing as a Tapasvi. You perform, by your activities show your Paratva, your greatness. You killed so many demons, but your dress shows your Saulabhya. By your dress you appear like an ordinary person. And this is completely confusing to me. And therefore you are aprameya. I am not able to understand you. And then she goes to the next word. I thought that since you cannot be attained, since you cannot be understood with my mind, I thought that maybe you may be attained by the senses. But actually you are not even accessible even to the external senses. And then with that in mind, she uses the next word, Tvam aprameya durasadascha. Durasada means one who is not easily accessible and one who is not easily accessible by the senses. So aprameya can mean one who cannot be approachable by the mind. And Durasada means one who is not easily accessible by the senses. So if he is not easily accessible, then what is the way to understand the Supreme Lord? That is, it is described in the scriptures, Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya, Mahajano yena gata sapanta. The Dharma is hidden in the cave-like hearts of the Mahajans. By following the footsteps of the Mahajans, one can understand Dharma, one can understand the Supreme Lord, one can realize the Supreme Lord. That is the way to know the Supreme Lord. And Durasada, another meaning of the word Durasada is that Tara is saying that you are not easily accessible to those people who do not accept the Vedas. Because Vedas are the ways by which one can understand the Supreme Lord. And also, you are not easily accessible to those people who accept the Vedas, but give wrong interpretation to the Vedas. So, in this way, she gives another meaning to the word Durasada. And then, she says, I thought that since you are proud of having the opulence of these two qualities, aprameya and durasada, I thought that because of this pride of having these two qualities, you killed Wali in order to take me and in order to take the Wali's kingdom. I thought that you killed Wali in order to enjoy me and in order to enjoy the kingdom of Wali. But actually, after killing Wali, you have handed over the kingdom to Sugriva. And this shows your detachment from the sense objects. And with that in mind, she uses the next word, Jitendriyascha. Jitendriyascha means you have complete control over the senses. And she says, usually men want to look at other women. But Kaikeyi said to Bharat, Lord Ram never looks at the wives of other men with his eyes. Although I have been standing in front of you for so long, you do not even look at me. And what detachment you have. I am able to experience what Kaikeyi told to Bharat now. And with that in mind, she uses the word Jitendriyascha, that you have got complete control over the senses. And then another meaning of the word Jitendriya means that you are not dependent on your senses. The Vedic scriptures say, Pashyat achakshu sa shnoti akarnaha. The Lord sees without the eyes. He hears without the ears. सर्वेन्द्रियैर अपि विना सर्वे सर्वत्र पश्यति. ऑल्दो ही इज विदाउट ऑल द सेंसेस बट ही इज एबल टू सी एवरीथिंग. सो what do these verses mean? These verses mean that the Lord is not dependent on his senses to see, to hear. In the case of a conditioned soul, we are dependent on the senses to perform some function. But the Lord is not dependent on the senses. That is another meaning of the word Jitendriya. And then she says that my husband's father, that is Indra, he became lusty after the wife of Gautama Rishi. And Brahma, who is superior even to Indra, ran after his own daughter. Chandra, who gives life to the entire world, kidnapped the wife of his own guru. And your guru Vishwamitra was captivated by Menaka. But only you have completely conquered all the senses. With that in mind, she uses the word Tvam Jitendriya. You are the only person who has complete control over all the senses. And then she says, yeah, maybe with the next word may conclude. And then she says, I thought that you are having such detachment and control over the senses. Then why are you giving distress to others? Why are you causing trouble to others without any cause? Wali did not trouble you previously. I thought that why did you kill Wali without any previous history of animosity? So I thought that maybe you are a follower of Adharma. But actually, I have come to know you are a Uttama Dharmikascha. And then she gives the meaning of the word Uttama Dharmikascha. So there is Dharmika, there is a Adama Dharmika, Madhyama Dharmika and Uttama Dharmika. Adama Dharmika means among the Dharmic people, one who is on the lowest level. So one who performs Dharma for one's own sake is called as Adama Dharmika. And one who performs Dharma for one's own benefit and also for others' benefit is called as Madhyama Dharmika. And one who performs Dharma only for the sake of benefiting others is actually Uttama Dharmika. I have realized that you have killed Wali for benefiting others. Therefore, I thought that you are an adharmika person, but actually you are a Uttama Dharmika. And then, another meaning of the word Uttama Dharmika, so it is said, there are four levels, Dharmika, Uddharmika, Uttara Dharmika, and Uttama Dharmika. So, Dharmika means, who is attained by practicing the very difficult process of Varnashram Dharma. Or one who worships the Supreme Lord by performing Varnashram Dharma. Yeah, the Varnashram duties are, there are so many detailed duties. So one who is attained by practicing the very difficult process of Varnashram Dharma. So by practicing the purpose of practicing Varnashram Dharma is ultimately to please the Supreme Lord. In that sense, Dharmika refers to the Supreme Lord Vishnu only. But here it means that Dharmika means one who is attained by the very difficult process of Varnashram Dharma. And Uddharmika means one who is attained by practicing the path of Bhakti, by practicing the path of Sadhana Bhakti. That is Uddharmika. The Supreme Lord who is attained by practicing the path of sadhana bhakti, that Supreme Lord is called as Uddharmika. And then Uttara Dharmika, that means one who is attained by the easy process of Sharanagati towards the Lord. the one who is attained by the easy process of sharanagati, that Supreme Lord is called as Uttara Dharmika. But Uttama Dharmika means one who is very easily attained by being blessed by the acharyas. So there is a gradation. The Varnashram Dharma is the most difficult process. The Lord who is attained by the difficult process of Varnashram Dharma, that is Dharmika. And then Uddharmika, one who is attained by the little less difficult, but difficult process of Sadhana Bhakti, Uddharmika. And third is Uttara Dharmika, the Lord who is attained by the easy process of Sharanagati. And fourth is the Lord who is very easily attained because of being blessed by the Acharya, that is the Uttama Dharmika. So in this way, she gives different meanings. And another meaning of the word Uttama Dharmika is that she says that you are Uttama Dharmika means one who is, it is said, one who is rooted in Samanya Dharma. Samanya Dharma means ordinary Dharma. It refers to Varnashram Dharma. One who is rooted in Samanya Dharma is called as Dharmika. But one who is rooted in Vishesha Dharma, special Dharma, is called as Uttama Dharmika. So you are Uttama Dharmika because you are actually rooted in Vishesha Dharma. The Vishesha Dharma, it refers to actually the giving shelter to those people who have surrendered to him, his Bhakta Vatsalyata nature. So Samanya Dharma is performing the Varnashram duties. Yeah, the Lord performs, even whatever role he takes up, he performs that role. But especially by actually giving shelter to the surrendered people, he performs his Vishesha Dharma. He exhibits his quality of Bhakta Vatsalyata. For example, the Samanya Dharma is to show compassion, to show mercy to others. But Vishesha Dharma is that when a person has surrendered to you, for the sake of the surrendered person, you may even kill some enemies. Like in the case of Sugriva surrendered to Lord Ram. In order to show affection to Sugriva, he killed Vali. He did not follow the principle of giving mercy. In that sense, he performed the Vishesha Dharma. Like for example, it is said, in one of the songs of the Alvas, it said, in the Vrindavan, some cowherd boys are actually milking the cows. So one cowherd boy was actually milking the cow. And it is described that this cowherd boy is so glorious because he is performing his dharma as a Vaishya of milking the cow. But there was another cowherd boy. He left the milking of the cow, and the milk was actually flowing from the cow into the ground. And this cowherd boy is actually glorified even more. And I wonder, like, why this cowherd boy is glorified even more? The reason is that Krishna was returning from the forest of Vrindavan after herding the cows. And Krishna always wants to be surrounded by other friends. He always wants to keep his hand on somebody. So this cowherd boy, understanding that Krishna needs somebody in order to keep his hand on somebody's shoulder, so he left the milking of the cow in order to actually give his shoulder for Krishna to keep his hands. So he left his Samanya Dharma of milking the cow, he left his Samanya Dharma as a Vaishya, and to perform the Vishesha Dharma of rendering service to Krishna. So that is what Uttama Dharmikascha. And then, lastly, Tara says that you are Uttama Dharmika because you showed mercy both to Sugriva and Vali without seeing friends or enemy. You showed mercy to Sugriva by getting back his kingdom and wife, and he showed mercy to Vali by killing him, and in this way you removed his sins. you removed his sin of usurping the wife of the brother. In this way, you benefited both Sugriva and Vali, so therefore you are called as Uttama Dharmika. And then she goes on to glorify further qualities of Lord Ram, which I will not describe in detail. I will just mention the other qualities. Other quality she says is that, I thought that you are only, that he who is only Uttama Dharmika, but he may not possess the fruit of Dharma, that is the fame. But actually, you are also a person of great fame. You are Akshaya Kirtischa. You are actually having eternal fame which cannot be destroyed. And what is the reason for actually getting such fame? The reason is that you are Vichakshana. You are extremely intelligent. You are extremely intelligent. And then she says, not only you are actually extremely intelligent, you are also Kshitik Shamavan. You are actually equal to Mother Earth in the quality of tolerance. You are tolerant like Mother Earth. And then she says, not only you are tolerant like Mother Earth, and you are Kshatajopa Makshah. Kshata means a scar. Kshataja means that which actually takes birth from a scar. That is the blood. Kshatajopa Makshah means that one who is having eyes like the, one who is having reddish eyes like the of a blood. So, Kshatajopa Makshah means you are having a reddish eyes. So, in this way, Tara glorifies the qualities of Lord Ram. So, she described 8 qualities of Lord Ram. Tvam aprameya, you are indeterminable, or you cannot be understood with our mind. And Durasada, you are not easily accessible even with our senses. Tvam aprameya durasadascha, jitendriyascha, you have complete control over the senses. And Uttama Dharmikascha, you are actually a person of your highest dharma. And then she says that Akshaya Kirtischa, you are having eternal fame, and Vichakshanascha, you are having you are extremely intelligent, and you are having tolerance like Mother Earth, and you are having a reddish eyes. So we discussed these qualities of Lord Ram, and we discussed the the different arguments given by Vali for blaming Lord Ram, how Lord Ram actually exactly counterattacked each of the arguments given by Vali. And we also discussed about the importance of the Puranas and Itihasas, especially in Kali Yuga, how the Puranas and Itihasas are as Vedic as the original Vedas. So with that, I'll stop today's class. I'd like to express my gratitude to all of you for taking out your valuable time for coming for this Sunday feast program, and patiently hearing this particular satsang. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna. I request everybody to be seated for some announcements. I humbly request all the devotees to be seated for some announcements before we have ecstatic kirtan. Hare Krishna. Main sabhi bhakton se nivedan karta hu, kuch samay ke liye baith jaiye. Thode announcements hai, uske paschat yahan par ek sundar kirtan hoga. Hare Krishna. First of all, we would like to welcome those guests who have come to our Sunday feast program for the very first time. सबसे पहले हम उन सभी भक्तों और अतिथियों का स्वागत करना चाहेंगे जो पहली बार कार्यक्रम में आए हैं. our reception team of devotees near the DTO of Hanumanji will welcome you to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir by offering you the special Mahaprasadam of their lordships, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji. And if you have any questions regarding Krishna consciousness in general or any this temple and its activities in particular, they will be very happily answer your questions. Hamare swagat adhyaksha aur unke sahayogi aap kaagat karenge. वे आपको श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ का महाप्रसाद तो देंगे ही, साथ ही साथ यदि इस मंदिर या इस्कॉन संस्था के विषय में आपके कोई प्रश्न होंगे तो अत्यंत हर्ष से वे उनका उत्तर भी देंगे. सो वी वुड लाइक टू रिक्वेस्ट दोज हु हैव कम फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम टू काइंडली स्टैंड इन देयर प्लेसेस सो दैट वी कैन प्रॉपरली वेलकम देम. अब हम पहली बार आए हुए सभी भक्तों से निवेदन करते हैं कि वे कृपया अपने अपने स्थानों पर खड़े हो जाएं जिससे हम उनका समुचित स्वागत कर सकें. हरे कृष्णा. वी वुड लाइक टू थैंक यू फॉर टेकिंग आउट वेरी वैल्यूएबल टाइम, यू आर वेरी वैल्यूएबल टाइम एंड कमिंग टू आवर टेम्पल फॉर द संडे फीस्ट. वी वुड लाइक टू प्रे एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ द लॉर्डशिप्स श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ जी दैट लेट टूडेज प्रोग्राम बी अ वेरी ऑस्पिशियस बिगिनिंग फॉर अ लॉन्ग एंड ब्लिसफुल लाइफ इन कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस फॉर ऑल ऑफ यू. And that you may please keep coming back here every Sunday and enthusing us with your presence. Hare Krishna. Aap sabhi apna kimti samay nikal kar hamare is Sunday feast karyakram mein aaye, iske liye hum aapko dhanyavad dena chahte hain. Hum Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ji ke charan kamalon par yahi prarthana karte hain ki aaj ka yah din aapke ujjwal Krishna bhavanamay jeevan ka ek shubharambh bane aur aap प्रत्येक रविवार इस कार्यक्रम में आकर हमें प्रोत्साहित करें. सो वी वुड लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू आवर संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम इन आवर ट्रेडिशनल स्टाइल बाय लाउडली चैंटिंग थ्री टाइम्स हरि बोल हरि बोल. हमारे बेस से कुछ अनाउंसमेंट्स हैं, कृपया ध्यान से सुनिए. नेक्स्ट जर्नी ऑफ सेल्फ डिस्कवरी 6 सेशन कोर्स is from June 23rd to June 28th, 7 to 9 p.m. Course will be conducted by His Grace Braj Mohan Prabhu. Next monthly Chetana program for girls on Saturday 10th of June 17. Timings are 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. And speaker is Her Grace Madhurya Leela Mataji. A 3-day seminar on world religions, a spiritual perspective by His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu will be held from 2nd of June to 4th of June. Registration charges are ₹200 and ₹250 for spot registration. You can register online at www.basechaupati.com. Only 110 seats are available. Next, a 3-day seminar by His Grace Gauranga Prabhu on Dhruva Charitra Part 2. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 9 to 12, from 16th June to 18th June. Timings are Day 1 and Day 2, 7 to 9 p.m. and Day 3, 5:15 to 7:30 p.m. Again, you can register online at www.basechaupati.com. Registration fees are ₹200 and ₹250 for spot registration. Thank you very much. We'll have a nice kirtan. Kindly stand up.
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे